few years ago in San Diego, the FBI raided a psychiatric hospital. Dozens of agents closed the place down and they pawed through all the records seeking evidence of Medicare and Medicaid fraud. After a while, they decided they were hungry, and so they called out for pizza. This is the conversation. The agent: "Hi, I'd like to order 19 large pizzas and 67 sodas." The pizza guy: Okay, where do you want them delivered?" "The psychiatric hospital." "The psychiatric hospital. Yep, that's right. I'm an FBI agent." Pizza man: "FBI agent at the psych hospital?" "That's right. Everybody here is an FBI agent. And make sure you don't come to the front door. Come around to the back door. We have the front door locked. Come around to the back door and just kind of knock." "And you say you're an FBI agent?" "Yeah, everybody here is an FBI agent." "How are you going to pay for this?" "Oh, I have a checkbook." I don't think so." Click, buzz. Now, it's an absurd scenario, but if you think about it, think about those people listening to Jesus when he said, "Blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry." They probably were about like the pizza guy at these words. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry. Are you kidding me? How is it being blessed to be poor and hungry? It's a strange world that we live in. It used to be you didn't know about the issues of people in other places. Now with electronic communication, we're so much more connected with other places. Just this week, I chatted with a Nicaraguan girl from our village of Santa Amelia. I got to know her when she asked if I would help her pay to go to college, and I had to say no, I just can't do everything. She didn't seem to hold it against me. She doesn't even know who her father is. She lives with her mother and several siblings in a dirt floor shack. They survive by picking coffee, but the coffee picking season just ended, and they're looking at many lean months. Sometimes a family goes without food because there just isn't anything. No, there's no money to buy food. She sleeps on a mat in the dirt because she doesn't have a bed. Topping it off, she's now pregnant, and the father will be of no help. She simply doesn't know how she's going to survive, much less take care of a child. She said, "I want to die." Tell me, Jesus, how is that being blessed? And I really think that we need to struggle with this question. How can it be a blessing to be poor and hungry? Not only is it no fun, but it goes against everything we strive for. Now, this text is Luke's version of the Beatitudes. Luke is slightly different than Matthew's more famous account. In Luke, the sermon occurs on a plain rather than a mount. In Luke, it says, "Blessed are the poor." In Matthew, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." In Luke, it says, "Blessed are the hungry." Matthew says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." Matthew is more concerned with the spiritual. Luke is more concerned with the physical. You do what you want with these differences. But this is what Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke: "Blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry." Why? And I think this is an important question. Why would Jesus say, "Blessed are the poor"? My answer is that in poverty, they don't trust their stuff, but turn to God. This girl that I chatted with, after a couple days, she dropped the "I want to die" and started talking about con Dios, with God. God will help me. She knows that in her situation, she has to trust in something other than her wealth because she has no wealth. She has to trust God. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor." I go out on the mall and I see these bored and resentful teenage kids hanging around the mall complaining that they don't have the latest telephone. I kind of think poverty might be a blessing to them, so I might teach them what's really important, and it's not their telephones. Every time I come back from Nicaragua, I see again how little our things do to bring us blessings. I see American families who have everything, who hardly know each other. I go to Walmart and I see all this stuff that we don't actually need. And I don't know, I'm going to sputter a little bit. I don't know how many times I've had people ask for money for gas. We need gas to get to work. So we never get cash, go down to Walmart, put it in, and usually $10. And they'll drive up with this car, $50,000 car with a tag still on it. And what are you doing buying a car like that? And you can't even drive it. But we just gotta have these things. Why? The poor often know what's important. And they know where their real hope and strength is. It's not their stuff. We're so used to the words of Jesus, and I must say, letting the words of Jesus roll off of it, that we forget how radical these words are. Jesus is turning the structure of blessing upside down. For in our culture, it probably is too, it's to be blessed to have lots of material goods. And Jesus is saying that real blessing is something far different. Being truly blessed is seeking and knowing God in our life. There's this thing which I consider to be a heresy called the prosperity gospel. They say that God wants you to be rich. Wealth is a sign of God's blessing, and God wants to bless you. Where I part ways, but it's not necessarily for those others. Now, they tend to teach that if you give to their church, their cause, their televangelism program, it will make you richer. Now, there's this idea that wealth is a sign of God's blessing. That's where the blessing comes from. My problem is this. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything that Jesus taught. Jesus said, blessed are the poor. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And I also find this profoundly selfish. It seems to be all about me, rather me getting rich, rather than concern for anyone else. That is so far from the Christian faith as to be something else. Jesus never said or anything even similar to blessed are you when you're rich. In this passage, he actually says, woe to you who are rich. He said, blessed are you when you have nothing. Why? Because then you rely not on the things of the world, but on God. William Wilmot has repeatedly said that Christians in the third world sometimes feel sorry for Americans. They want to send missionaries here to American Christians. Why? Because third world Christians believe that Americans' abundance has led to spiritual poverty. They believe we lead shallow lives devoted to things rather than to the Lord. When Nicaraguans come here, they all comment that all we want to talk about is our things, what we have, what they don't. Don't seem to want to talk about family, faith. I realize that economics can be complex, and there's a lot of reasons for wealth and poverty. There aren't simple answers. But I also realize there's something fundamentally unchristian about me having so much stuff that I have to rent a storage building to store it in the same world as a dear friend who does not know how she's going to feed her baby. I don't have an answer. But if we're honestly and truly trying to follow Jesus, rather than this culture of materialism, then the economic disparity between us and the world is something we need to think about and address. Jesus said, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who are hungry. How do those words of Jesus fit with our lives? Growing up, our minister told a story, and I still remember the story. There was a lady who was very wealthy, or more properly, she was married to a wealthy man. She was into showing off her wealth. She dressed flashy, she had flashy jewels, and she never did anything for church, for charity, or anyone else. It's all about the money. All at once, it came out that her husband got that money illegally. He got arrested, charged, and before he came to trial, committed suicide, and the authorities took virtually everything. Within a space of just a few weeks, she went from being rich to having nothing. She had to take an entry-level job just to survive. Before too long, she got involved with the church. and being involved in church where before she would give nothing to any charitable job and cause, no matter how worthy. But now she would give something. Not much, because she simply didn't have much anymore, but something. And people noticed. They asked her, why the difference? And she said this, before, my life and my hope was in my money. Now, it is my faith. Maybe Jesus would say that losing her wealth, she became blessed. Someday, we'll stand before God and give an account for our lives. And that far off and distant day, we'll have to explain to God where we truly sought our blessing.